Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 50, recorded Monday, January 1st, 2007. This is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler. It's more about the journey than the destination. Two topics on today's Travel Commons Podcast: working hard to get home again, and travel super elites. This week, Happy New Year's from the Travel Commons studio outside of Chicago. Been home now for, I think, about a week and a half, enjoying the Christmas break. Had a pretty busy travel schedule in the weeks leading up to the holidays, though. Managed to hit Memphis, New York, and then San Francisco twice in 2.5 weeks. And that last trip to San Francisco, I'll tell you, I was just dragging. I did not want to get on another plane. And there was one last stop between me and Christmas vacation, Denver. And that was the day the blizzard blew through the Rockies. But I'll save that story for our first topic. But now starting the new year on Wednesday with a flight back out to San Francisco, having spent my time off doing nothing much other than some cooking and just sort of knocking around the house. Managed to hang a couple of pictures on the wall today. I think I'm rested up enough now to brave the TSA and whatever new winter storms may await me. Following up, actually not too much to follow up, and pretty quiet here the month of December. Posting on the Travel Commons website that I put up there about the story about a woman who caused an emergency landing of an American Airlines flight because she lit matches to cover her body odor. Generated a few comments that travel story got picked up at least here in the U.S. in the national press, and one of these sort of oddly enough sort of stories. But I posted it up when I first saw it that day on the website, and like I said, got a few comments all about bad breath. Drew Lefthide of the Budacast podcast that bills it as Hungary's first English language podcast, and one that I listen to. I like it quite a bit. Of course, I've been to Budapest a number of times. Anyhow, Drew comments, you know, it reminded me of two German brothers I had to sit between because of a strange seating arrangement. Dieter's breath was so overwhelmingly rancid from coffee and cigarettes that I could barely breathe through my nose. And Bob said, I sat next to a guy about 6 months ago on a cross-country flight whose breath could stun a horse. I've been carrying those little Listerine breath strips in my laptop bag ever since. I'll tell you, I haven't had the breath problem, but I will say that I recently had to use the little air nozzle above me to create a bit of a wind curtain between me and a seemingly shower-deprived traveler who was in the seat next to me. Thanks to everyone who contributes their thoughts and stories, the voice of the traveler. The email address is comments, COMMENTS, at travelcommons.com, or you can always post them on the website, as Drew and Bob did. It's at, amazingly enough, travelcommons.com. The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is working hard to get home again. You know, the first topic on our last podcast, Travel Commons number 49, was the timeline of me trying to get from San Francisco to O'Hare while a thunder snowstorm hit Chicago. However, you know, trying to squeeze one last trip in before the holiday crowds took over the airplanes, the Chicago forecast was clear. Indeed, it's been unseasonably warm, no white Christmas, and 57 degrees yesterday on New Year's Eve. But on December 20th, I was in San Francisco, and that Wednesday morning, I had a 6 a.m. flight from San Francisco Airport to Denver, where I was planning on a mixture of, a bit of business and pleasure. Take a couple of business meetings, see my parents, deliver Christmas gifts, and maybe get a day of skiing in up in Breckenridge. Wake up at 4 a.m., click on headline news, and see a nasty blizzard churning its way in that same direction. I hit San Francisco security about 5 a.m. It only took me about 10 minutes to get through, though even that early you could start to feel the holiday crowds, the families with small kids beginning to sort of thicken things up a bit. I got on the plane. It was a completely packed 767. Talking to the guy next to me, we wondered if we'd get into Denver before the storm hit. The plane pushed back and taxied to the runway. We waited, but not for long. Pilot came on. The blizzard's blowing pretty hard in Denver. 40-mile-an-hour winds and a quarter-mile visibility. They've shut the airport down, so we're going to taxi back to the gate. Can't say we were too surprised. It was about 6:30, quarter to seven or so, when we got back to the gate. After we redocked, which I always find is interesting, you pull back up and the flight attendants all go through the same arrival sequence, and you feel like you're kind of at the end of the flight, but you haven't even started yet. The gate agent got on the PA. "Stay on the plane," she requested or sort of demanded, I might think. "Weather conditions can change rapidly, and if you're connecting through Denver to somewhere else, there are no available seats on any other plane today." Well, that's a cheery holiday thought. If you're trying to head east for Christmas with your family, the only way to get there is through an airport that's already under a couple of feet of snow. Finally, at 8 o'clock in the morning, United sort of admitted reality and canceled the flight, along with every other flight into Denver. The queues off the customer service desks ran down half the terminal. I got in queue, but immediately began dialing the Premier exec number. You know, United's phone line is a bit annoying. You have to wade through about 30-45 seconds of voice recognition menu. What's your mileage plus number? Do you want reservations or information? Are you flying domestically or internationally? All that before you can get transferred to an agent. Now, you know, that's okay under normal conditions, but these weren't normal conditions. The cell phone networks were flooded with people trying to call United, trying to call home. Overhead announcements were announcing cancellations loudly every 30 seconds, causing the voice reco menu to tilt and disconnect on about every other attempt. And finally, if you actually got through the menu and you got transferred to, now to get transferred to an agent, boom, you hit a busy signal. United service centers were just crushed. After hitting a couple of busy signal dead ends, I started to worry. I could feel the limited number of seats that could get me from San Francisco to O'Hare. I felt them sort of slipping away. I thought for a second, and then I redialed. I worked through the menu tree again, but when asked domestic or international, I changed my answer. I said international, though, you know, with a slight English accent, just in case they were checking. I got transferred to a ringing line this time. And, you know, it's a twist on the old call center trick. Choose the Spanish-speaking agent. There's never a line for those folks, and they all speak English as well as Spanish. There was no sort of por español selection on this menu, on United's menu, but the international selection served the same purpose. It got me directly to a live person with a very short wait. And the guy was very helpful and very pleasant. And, you know, it's surprising given the pressure the guy was probably under to keep call time to a minimum. There were no direct flights available from San Francisco to O'Hare. I mean, you know, no surprise there. I mean, but remembering back to my my last winter storm adventure a few weeks ago when I was trying to get from San Francisco to O'Hare, I asked about flights out of San Jose Airport. I could pull the same trick I pulled the beginning of December, just hop the shuttle and bomb down the 40 miles down to the other end of the bay. No dice, nothing available out of San Jose, but he could get me on a 2 p.m. flight to LAX, and from there on a 6 p.m. flight that would get me into O'Hare at midnight. Great if that's all you got. Book it. So now it's 8:30 a.m. My flight for LAX doesn't leave for another 5.5 hours. You know, I can kill 20 minutes eating breakfast, but what else do I do? Walking up to the food court, I run into a former neighbor of mine. He's been there in San Francisco for 10 days and is catching the next flight back to Chicago. He has a ticket, and he was going direct, not through Denver. Tells me that security on the other side, the security queues, are a complete and total horror show. Huge queues, families everywhere. So I guess I'm not going outside for a breath of fresh air over the next 5.5 hours. Lucky, I guess, I'm not a smoker. Well, after breakfast, I decide to try and stand by on the next flight to Chicago at 10:30 a.m. I eventually work my way through the lineup to the gate agent. There are 75 people on the standby list without tickets to get them anywhere. Since I already have a flight home, a ticket for a flight home, I'd be number 76. Families were beginning to congregate. Little kids were beginning to melt down. I decide to take a pass. I wander over to the American Airlines terminal, pop into the Admiral's Club, and get a couple hours of phone calls and work done. You know, I don't know, though. In these situations, I have a hard time shifting gears to do any real work. My mind keeps getting drawn back to the uncertainty of my situation. Am I actually going to get home? What's going on? I make a couple of phone calls. I purge some old emails from Outlook, read a couple of trade magazines, just basically piddled around and just kind of watched the clock tick. I got on my 2 p.m. flight and promptly fell asleep. That 4 a.m. wake-up call to catch my original 6 a.m. flight was starting to catch up to me. Got down to LAX without any problems, as you would imagine. You know, it's an hour flight, and the weather was beautiful going down the coast. Walking through the terminal at LAX, though, I saw even longer lines snaking back from the customer service desk that blizzard in Denver continued to ripple through United's flight system. I landed at 3 p.m., but the 4 p.m. flight was oversold, and so I grabbed a table at the nearest bar and ordered a beer. You know, I was right to keep feeling uneasy about my flight home. From my bar stool, I heard the tale of woe of the 1:25 p.m. flight to O'Hare. No plane, it was trapped in Denver, and no seats on anything else. The United gate agent announced over the PA, "If you're from L.A., go home, come back tomorrow and try again. If you're connecting through, stay put, we'll try and figure something out." It was potentially the most brutally honest PA announcement I've ever heard in an airport. So after they canceled out the O'Hare flight, they then flipped over to the LAX Maui flight. It, too, was delayed. The first officer was trapped in Denver. A couple of refugees from the O'Hare flight were standing next to me in the bar. Okay, so I can't get to Chicago, but can I make the Maui flight? Finally, it was time for my 6 p.m. flight. We had a plane, we had a crew, we were oversold, and we had over 100 people on the standby list. I looked down on my boarding pass. I had a seat assignment. I was one of the lucky ones. I was going to get home tonight. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast is travel super elites. You know, last year in Travel Commons number 26, we talked about the explosion of elites, about how airlines are diluting the value of their elite status by counting non-flight miles, such as those earned through purchases on Affinity credit cards, toward elite levels. And then in Travel Commons number 35 last spring, I mentioned an offer by United allowing people to buy into elite status by prepaying for mileage, something like $10,000 for Premier Exec, maybe $50,000, if I remember correctly, for their top tier, 100K. You know, and now this status inflation seems to be taking the next logical turn. How to make the top status flyers, whether, you know, real or purchased, feel that they're really special. I've noticed on both American and United a move to split the top tier flyers, Executive Platinum on American, 100K in Global Services on United, from the rest of sort of the hoi polloi. American has opened a new security line at O'Hare for Executive Platinums and First Class, manned to keep the regular Platinums out. They pulled this checker actually from the regular status line, which now tails back further sometimes than the regular security lines. At San Francisco, United has split the gate boarding line in two. A red carpeted line for First Class 100K and Global Services folks, and a regular line for us regular Premiers and the unstatused flyers. You know, as someone with Platinum status on American and Premier Exec status on United, yeah, I find this just a little annoying. You know, I've flown over 50,000 miles on each airline in 2006, but apparently that amount of business doesn't mean anything anymore. Well, actually it does. You know, I still get my 100% mileage bonus, so I get 2 miles in my frequent flyer bank for every mile flown. But you know, that's really not the reason people want status. People want the special treatment that status provides. Quicker security lines, early boarding, better shots at first class upgrades. You know, United's red carpet lines and SFO are just sort of, they're like a harmless snub. I mean, Continental is the same thing, but it's available to every status level. And really, you know, United's red carpet does not take anything away for me as a mid-tier status flyer. But Americans move in O'Hare, checking boarding passes for entry into the new Executive Platinum security line while letting anyone into the old status security line, you know, that's got much more impact on my travel day. Now, there's an article in the New York Times back in November, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, that talked about the levels of services airlines are offering extreme status flyers. You know, being met as you step off the plane, a private car to shuttle you between connecting planes, someone else collecting your bags, being escorted through customs. Entry level into Lufthansa's extreme status tier requires 600,000 miles over 2 consecutive years on Lufthansa or one of its partners. No credit card points apply here. You know, it seems that these are less about frequent flyer programs and more about really a travel experience program. We've talked in a number of podcasts about how the travel experience has significantly deteriorated over the past 10 years. You know, in one way you could think about these programs trying to reverse that trend, at least for the few thousand flyers who are willing to pay for it. But it's a fine line to tread. I mean, how do you improve the experience of a small number of extreme flyers without causing resentment in the bulk of the rest of your customers, especially the twice-a-month business flyers who you used to make feel special? And I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I okay being mid-tier, now being sort of pushed down the stack on two airlines? Or do I bundle it up and go for top tier? I've been splitting the miles between the two, but now as things are moving forward, I feel like I'm being forced to choose one. I'm not sure I know what I'm going to do. My sense is that somebody's going to lose some money this year. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 50. I hope you all enjoyed this podcast and hope you decide to stay subscribed. The bridge music on today's show was selected by my son Andrew from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. The songs were Flight by Gain... Jeez, I can't pronounce this name. You'll have to look at the show notes. Gainja, I think. Rocky Road by K-Centric and Wilderness Dance by DJ Squirrel King. There you go. Check out the show notes for song titles and artist links. I apologize, but I don't think I'll have pronunciation guides in there. But anyhow, if you have a story, a thought, comment, gripe, the voice of the traveler, send them along, text or MP3 file to comments, COMMENTS at travelcommons.com, or post them on the website at travelcommons.com. Thanks to everyone who takes the time to send in emails, audio files, or post comments on the website. Until we talk again, thanks for stopping by the Travel Commons. Take care. Bye now.
Home alone, life is hell. Strange bed in a lonely motel. But one thing needs my mind, the one woman that I left behind. California to Carolina.